FM CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness. Mikhail Mir's Financial Consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
And this is Lori Houston with Thomas Campbell. This is the last Friday of the month. We're actually doing this a little early, but we're saying that it's the last Friday of the month. And and it's always great to have Tom on the show because Tom comes from a background of science. So he's proven all of this because that's part of what he does and where he's from. And so I always love having Tom. Tom can be found. He's done a series of books, a series of three books called My Big Toe. So he also put a website on the internet called My Big Toe. There's hyphens in between. So it's my-big-toe.com. He's also got a lot of videos, just a, you know, you could spend hours on YouTube if you look up Thomas Campbell or Tom Campbell. And you can find all the information on his workshops and just a wealth of information that you can find on him. But welcome again. And today we're going to talk a little bit. We actually mentioned it the last show, which was very exciting because I was just finishing up my my newsletter, or just starting my newsletter at the time. We're going to talk a little bit about how we're afraid to participate and we stay in this victim consciousness. Now, I kind of brought it up to date because the film The Lorax had just come out, I guess, a month ago or so. And, of course, most people know about the movie because it's a Dr. Seuss book. But the new film that came out, which is also animated, it just talks about the environment. So that's one example of how we are afraid to participate because we get caught up in, you know, how can we make a difference? One, we say, oh, the rainforest, that stuff, it's, you know, it's being done halfway around the world. It doesn't really impact us. But we feel, and this is where Tom's going to come in, because this is kind of his comment, where, you know, we feel small. Yes, Tom? Yes.
Silence, waiting for Tom to wake up and come in and join the conversation. Yeah.
Well, I knew you were there.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah, and There's a whole set of problems and understandings that go along with this, and one of them is that people do feel small. They feel inadequate. They feel unable to make a difference.
Yeah.
And that stems from a lot of things. Partially, in our society, in our culture, okay, we tend to be constantly encouraged or nudged into the position of children. Our culture does that to us. We depend on others to tell us what's safe to eat. We depend on others to tell us, you know, what medicines work. We depend on others, you know, experts to tell us what we should do and when we should do it and what movies we should watch and so on and so on. We are constantly being nudged by our culture into the position of being children, that we do what we're told. We are respectful of mommy and daddy who know more than we do, and we kind of stay out of trouble, keep our head down, a good child is seen than heard, that
yes.
sort of thing, you know.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's kind of the whole cultural mindset that we live in, is that we are effete, we are powerless,
yeah. And
everybody else, I shouldn't say everybody, but there's all these experts, and they all know so much more than we do, so we kind of defer to them to do our thinking for us. So that's partly, it's just our culture gives us this sense, and I wouldn't say necessarily, you know, that we feel like we're victims in that sense, but we don't feel empowered. We feel like we are small. We don't really matter that much as individuals. We can't do anything. We can't affect much. So that's part of the problem is we just start with an attitude of oh, what could poor little old me, you know, do about such a big problem? Mm-hmm. It's beyond my, you know, somebody else that's one of these big experts can maybe write a paper about it and convince people one way or another, but I'll just kind of sit down here and let it all go by. So we tend then to get disconnected from our reality and what's going on. And if you can't do anything about it, why, you know, why get involved in it? So we start to drop out of our culture and of our responsibilities. And that's unfortunate. That's not a good thing, because here we are, consciousness, and we are in this learning lab, this group of consciousness, and what we have out in the world is what we create. It's ours. We've done it. We've made it that way. And it's not that the experts made it that way or the government made it that way. We make it that way. We the people are really the root cause, the root reason for things being the way they are. So if you don't like the way the world is, if you don't like, you know, the rainforest disappearing, if you don't like, you know, what your government's doing or on and on and on and on, all the things that we don't like and we think are not good and need to be changed, then what has to change isn't the government or the expert's opinion. It's us. It's our attitudes. It's our consciousness. So we are we're the problem. And as a consciousness, we need to step up and take responsibility for what we create, which is our whole environment, our whole reality is what we create. So that's kind of the first, you know, my kind of introduction of what the problem is. The problem is that we are nudged into being children in our culture who are unempowered. You know, children are unempowered. We tell the children what to do, you know. Don't play in the street, you know, be home at such and such a time. And we fall into that very same role ourselves in our very paternalistic culture that we live in. So I'll give you a break. Now, last time I talked, just you asked one question, I talked all the way to the break. So I'm trying to be a good boy today and stop and let you get a few words in edgewise. So.
I appreciate that, but I have no problem with you talking, Tom. I love listening to you. It's really interesting because I get where you say we're not necessarily a victim, but when we're not participating, when we think we can't do anything, then we really don't think we have the power. So maybe that's the better word, is that we are totally powerless to do anything about it. But I wonder, you know, how do we create an environment where we can, you know, because, you know, all the people talk about, you know, if we do it with anger, if we do it through fear, or if we do it through hate, we're not really making a change. So how do we make the change? Like Gandhi is obviously the clearest example of, you know, one person making a difference and making that point that he was one person making a difference and, you know, be the change you want to be in the world. But how do you stand up for these things without doing the counter reactive measure? Okay. How do you hold that space?
Well, the first thing is we need to get our focus correct on what it is we're doing and how we're going to go about it. You see, it, you know, Gandhi said, you know, be the change, right, that you want to see in the world. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just it. The key is not going out into the world and changing things to suit you better, but it's to be the change. You see, that's real key. So people have the idea, well, okay, the rainforest is disappearing, so what I should do is go down to Brazil and tie myself to the trunk of a big tree, you know, and dare them to cut it down, this sort of thing. That's not it. It's not that you go out and force the world to change into what you envision it to be. If everybody went out to try to force the world to be the way they wanted it to be, all we would have is chaos. All we would have is more violence. That doesn't fix it. the way you fix the world, the way you fix, you know, the politics, the way you fix the fact that you're manipulated by all of these marketing campaigns, the way you fix all of these things is to be the change you want to see. In other words, you have to grow up. You have to become caring, loving. You have to care about your impact and the way you affect others. And if we do that, if we all do that, then these other problems will just go away by themselves. You see, if we were a caring people, if we were a people that had a long-term vision on what was best for all, how could we lower the entropy of the whole system? If we thought like that, then none of these problems would exist. The reason they exist is because people are focused on themselves because of ego, because of beliefs, because of fear. That's what creates all the problems. So what do we do about it? We can't make anybody else drop their ego, get rid of their fear, and become love. You can't make anybody do that. So what can you do about it? You can become that way. You can drop your fear. You can become love. So that's how you change the world, is you change your...
CBS Radio The Sky and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes and will not be liable or accept liability for any loss or damage of whatever nature which may result from advice or information offered.
Well, got my window open wide. I got my window open wide. Got a good woman by my side. Got a good woman by my side. Now this kind of day has no night. Yeah, this kind of day has no night. And I ain't got much on my mind. I ain't got much on my mind. Cause I know something good this way comes. Now watching the streets filling up. Now watching the streets filling up. In the shade of the summer sun. In the shade of the summer sun. Got sweet apple pie on the stove. Got sweet apple pie on the stove. The birds, they're all flying low. The birds, they're all flying low. Cause they know something good this way comes. Yeah, something good this way comes. The troubled dog is not moving mountains, but digging the ground that you're on. If it's true that good fortune gives no change, we got just what it takes. Call it up on my coat. And call it up on my coat. Trucks are pulling in for the show. Trucks are pulling in for the show. Grasshopper jump in the road. Grasshopper jump in the road. Kids, they're all running home. The kids, they're all running home. Cause they know something good this way comes. Yeah, something good this way comes. The troubled dog is not moving mountains, but digging the ground that you're on. If it's true that good fortune gives no change, we got just what it takes. Something good this way comes.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul of Friends with Thomas Campbell and Lori Houston. Tom can be found on the internet. Google his name, Tom Campbell or Thomas Campbell, and you can find his website, which is my-big-toe.com, so my big toe with hyphens in between. Or you can find him on YouTube, where he has a wealth of information. And when I say a wealth, I truly mean there you could spend hours and hours and hours listening to all sorts of his workshops and information he's got. It's incredible. You would have a much better understanding of quantum physics and the way Tom thinks if you took a look at some of his video. And I think it's brilliant because it really combines the science in with the spiritual world. So right before break, we've been talking about participation, really, and how we don't want to participate. We don't want to be in the world because we feel just too small. And so right before the break, we were talking about, you know, different ways of being that, because, you know, we all know the groups out there. Like, there's a lot of support groups for a lot of different things. Usually the support groups are there to supposedly support you, but they do it in a way often that's very angry, or like Greenpeace, where they're trying to create peace through war. And so we know that that type of fighting doesn't work. That's not what we want to do here. Yet a lot of times we feel so powerless in doing anything, whether it's the environment, politics, the world of medicine, the world of pharmaceuticals. I mean, we could get caught up in all the things that we just don't feel we have any power towards. And a lot of times we don't feel we have any power towards our own life and, you know, what we're trying to create. So that just spurred on a whole bunch of things that I wanted to discuss today, just around, you know, how we don't participate and what we can do to be that change. Like, how do we change from the inside so that it impacts all the things that we feel aren't working for our world? How do we make those changes, Tom?
All righty. Let's just pick it up there. Well, you know, when you talk about feeling small, well, the reason we feel small is because of two things. We have fear. Actually, three things. It's all one. Fear is the key thing, and then fear has derivatives. The derivatives of fear that are important is we have ego, which means we start out with, well, what about me? You know, how does this impact me? It's going to take my time. It's going to take my energy. I won't be able to watch my favorite TV program if I'm out, demonstrating for them. So, first of all, we have fear. The fear is, I'm small. I can't do it. I don't have any effect. We have the ego that says, I really don't want to be bothered. It's time and it's trouble. And we have beliefs, which are, I believe that I can't make a difference. We believe that it's beyond us, and we believe that we are children and really have no effect. It's the grown-ups, you know. The big people will take care of it, you know. I don't have to get involved with this. Let the big people deal with it. So those are the things. So it's fear, ego, and belief. This is what delivers you into that state of victimhood that you're talking about, the state of being powerless, unempowered. And the way, obviously, to get rid of that, you have to get rid of that fear. You have to get rid of that ego and those beliefs. Now, when you do, when you get rid of your ego, you get rid of the beliefs and fear, you feel empowered to do everything. You realize that you are an independent person that has responsibility for your own choices, for what you do, and feeling completely responsible for your life and what you make of it and how you interact with other people then empowers you to interact and make the most of it and make those good choices. So all of this goes together. So how do you change the world? You do it by changing yourself. That's how you change the world. If you want to go out and force change in the world, make other people do it the way you want them to do it, then that will just create more problems. That's not going to work. You see, you have to lead people to, if you want to change the way people think, then it's not by forcing them to do it your way. It's not by pushing your thoughts down their throat and saying, you know, this is it, you know, believe it or, you know, I'll, whatever, you know, I'll cut you out or beat you up or, you know, you'll be marginalized if you don't do it my way. That isn't it. You have to help those people change themselves. It's not that you help them see it the way you see it. That's the wrong attitude. You help them change themselves, change their attitudes. So it has to come from individual change, not from one person forcing or pushing or making other people see it their way. And see, that's the problem we have. When you have, you mentioned Greenpeace as an organization that blows things up or burns things down in order to make things peaceful,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the problem with that is that, you know, this militant idea is that this is wrong and I'm going to stop it. You see, so I'm going to be as, you know, whatever I have to do to get the press that I need to change people's minds, or that you're just going to stop it and let the chips fall where they may. The problem with that is that you create more trouble than you solve. In other words, okay, you solve a little piece of trouble in that something was going to happen. Somebody was going to cut a tree down and now they won't. Okay, but what you've done is you have made a whole lot of other people less interested in your cause. You've made a whole lot of other people angry. You've made the people that want to cut trees down, next time they're not going to let you know about it, you know. Yeah. Next time they'll be sneaky. Next time, you know, and you're making a problem that was bad worse by doing that. The reaction you get is going to make the whole thing worse. So, you know, the next time there won't be a way for you to get in and tie yourself to the tree because they will have learned that tactic. The next time, you know, they won't even let you know where they're going to cut or what's going on. You won't be able to find out because they'll plug that hole. And pretty soon you're worse off than you were before,
mm-hmm.
you see. So you don't do things that way. You mentioned Gandhi. The way Gandhi made the British get out of India wasn't by trying to kill them and, you know, chase them out with guns. That wouldn't have worked. He basically helped the British come to the conclusion that they really shouldn't be there, that the Indians should be running their own country. So the Brits got in their boats and left, not because they were chased out with a gun, but because they realized it wasn't the right place to be, that it wasn't a good idea. It wasn't, you know, effective. It wasn't economical. It wasn't moral. It just wasn't right. And that's why the British left, because Gandhi helped them see that point of view. So you see, it's not that he forced them out with power. He had, you know, it's not that the people power shoved them off, you know, off the Indian continent. It's that Gandhi made them take a bigger look at the whole thing, and he gave them this choice. He says, well, you either need to, you know, let us, you know, get to the seashore or whatever and get the salt or whatever it is they did, let us, you know, march down the street, or you're just going to have to stand there and kill us all. So which is it that you're going to do? Well, the British were moral enough that they said, okay, we're leaving. You know, we're not going to just kill everybody so that we can have it our way. That put it into a black and white moral view that everybody could see. And eventually, of course, the British just left. So Martin Luther King did the same thing, you know, and, you know, Mandela, you know, did much the same thing. Basically, you present people with alternatives and stop cooperating with being the victim. So that happened because there were enough moral people willing to stand up and not incite violence. There were enough people in the southern, not even just southern, but in the United States to realize that it was wrong to be racist. That's what happened, is that people changed. Their attitudes changed. Morality, took a step up. And that wouldn't have happened had people been violent and tried to force their view. So you don't change other people. You just change yourself and then help other people change themselves. That's how you go about it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I ended my newsletter, and I'm going to say this, and I think we're probably going to have to go to break, and we'll talk about it as soon as we get back. But I asked a lot of questions because it was kind of getting to me as to trying to help me understand. So I believe I'm responsible for my world, but doesn't that mean our world too? And how do we participate? Conscious choices and conscious action, where our message is one of love and compassion and service as we do our part to take care of self and planet, to not hate when we see those in victim mode who continue to disregard for our waters and land, to lovingly devote our hearts in service to pick up litter, replant trees and foliage that has been destructed, to send love and wellness to the planet, being like the Lorax, not fighting, but loving and planting the seeds of love and compassion to all. And it's this fine line of, you know, we see things we don't like, we immediately judge those people for doing that instead of bringing it back into ourselves. And I guess, I mean, that was the only way I could think of as I was writing the newsletter as to how, you know, we could be that change. So when we come back, we'll talk about maybe some more examples of what that will look like. So we are with Intuitive Soul and Friends. We are talking with Thomas Campbell. And Tom is just, I can't say enough about Tom. I love him. He's in quantum physics, and he's drawn science and spirituality together. You can read his books.
CBS Radio's The New Sky. On the web now. Log on. NewSkyRadio.com.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I am a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world says its own needs. Dummies of your own needs. Speed it up and not speed. Grunt no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High wire and a fire. Representative seven games in a government for hire. Fury speeding down your neck. Team IT reporters, Battle Trump, Kevin Kraft, look at that. No planes, fine, dead. Uh-oh, overflow, population, common blueprint, it'll do. Save yourself, serve yourself, world, serve your own needs. Listen to your heartbeat, dummy, Mr. Rancher, and the Reverend is right, right. You patriotic, slam, fight, right. I'm feeling pretty sight. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world. Slice and burn, return, listen to yourself, turn. Locking in, uniform and foot, burning blood, letting every motive escalate. Automotive, center rate, light a candle, light a motor, step down, watching heel, crush, crush, uh-oh. This means no fear, cavalier, renegade, steer clear, turn them in a flies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline. It's the end of the world.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Lori Houston and Thomas Campbell. This is the last Friday of the month. We're doing it a little bit early today because Tom's going to be traveling at the time, but he will be with us in spirit. And
and with voice.
And with voice. Mm-hmm. And Tom is with us every last Friday of the month, which is such a joy for me. So I really can't say enough about Tom. And so we've been talking about participation, how we kind of feel very small and don't participate, how fear and our beliefs and our ego sort of stop us from doing things. Right before the break, I sort of talked about my own conclusion that I came to, because I think a lot of times we do get caught up in judging those things. Like as soon as it's something we don't like a politician or something that's happening to the environment or, you know, whatever it is that we feel we are in conflict with or we're not resonating with, we usually judge those people that are doing something. You know, we see graffiti, we judge the people that are doing it. We, you know, we send out hate. And because of what we've been talking about, because of how we say, you know, you can't force change. You can lead by example, you can show people a different way, but you can't force anybody to change. And sending out the vibration of hate or anger or whenever something isn't the way we want it to be isn't making the change either. So how would you say, Tom, to...
Well, there's a couple... One thing that you just said kind of leads into this obvious thing is when we get this idea it's us against them. Right, them are the bad guys. You know, them are the you know the industrialists that you know poison our food and that overcharge us and et cetera, et cetera. And us, you know, we're the good guys, yeah. And we have this attitude that it's us against them. So we see things we don't like, and like you say, then we become very judgmental and see it in this us against them. But the fact is, it's not us against them. You know, we're all one family here. You know, it's all one thing. It's one consciousness system, and we're all parts of it, and we're all working towards the same goal. So if we see it in that light, then it's not quite as easy to, you know, demonize them to make ourselves feel like we're blameless. The fact is that we have as much blame in it or as much glory in it as anybody else. You know, it's all, we're responsible for it. Another way of looking at this is the difference between the being level and the intellect. I think I mentioned that the other day. Two different ways of being. Now, at the intellectual level, we want to go do something.
Yeah.
If we do get involved, you know, it's like, how do we fix this? And then it's like, I want to go, what can I do to go out there and fix it? And then, of course, the answer comes, well, not anything, really. You know, there's really nothing you can do. Write a letter to your congressman, you know, and say, yeah, well, that never does any good. So it's that kind of thing. What can I do? But it's not, that's through the intellect. The intellect wants to know, how do I go out in the world and manipulate things to make them the way I want them to be?
Yeah.
That's what people think of when say, what do I do about it? Well, you shouldn't go out into the world and manipulate things to be the way you want them to be. That's the wrong approach again. Approach it from the being level. Now, one time years ago, somebody asked me, how do I become a really good parent? I've got a new infant, and I just am frightened that I really won't know what to do. You know, how do you become a good parent? When is it you spank too much, you spank too little, you don't spank it? Yeah, what do you do? You know, I don't know how to do this. And it's the same sort of thing. That's somebody approaching it from the intellectual level. They want to go out and manipulate their environment and the infant's environment and how they interact with the infant to make it come out the way they want it to. You see, it's the wrong approach. It's the take charge and make it happen the way you want approach, which is all ego. The approach that works is all you have to do is get your own head on straight, get rid of your own fear, your own ego, your own beliefs, and then just do what's natural. Just do what comes to you. And whatever comes natural to you after you've gotten rid of your fear and ego and beliefs will be the right thing. That's how you raise a child. You get your own head set straight, and then you just act natural. Well, it's the same way here with this, how do we get involved? How do we change things? Well, first you get your own head on straight. You get rid of your fear and your belief, whatever, and then you just act natural. Well, you know, what does that mean, act natural? Well, once you get rid of your fear and belief, doing those things, and maybe it's carrying a placard out on the street to help people become more aware of the issue. Maybe it's writing letters, you know, maybe it's talking to your friends, maybe it's, who knows what it is, but you just act natural, because once you don't have the fear, once you don't have the ego, then what you do is out of love and caring, and you see the bigger picture, and suddenly the things that you naturally are drawn to do will make a difference, because you're coming at it from the right direction, with the right attitude and the right intent and the right motivation, and you will be effective. So that's the thing. You know, we look at Mandela, we look at King, we look at Gandhi, we look at these people, and it wasn't because of the clever things that they did. It wasn't because of their wonderful strategies. It's because of who they were. Yeah. You see? That's what made the difference. It was because they didn't have the fear or the ego to get in the way. That's why they were great people, not because they came up with a clever strategy that everybody followed. It wasn't an intellectual thing. First, they got rid of their own personal fear and ego, and after that, they just did what was obvious. They just acted natural. So that's the same way you raise a child. That's the same way you protect the environment. That's the same way you fix your political system and your economic system, is you get rid of your fear, ego, and beliefs, and then just do, act natural. These things will matter to you. Your environment will matter to you. Your political system will matter to you. And if you can do that, you will encourage other people to do that. You will become a force that makes a difference. But as long as you have that ego and as long as you have that fear, then what you do is like stirring the pot. It may change things, but in the big picture, it doesn't really do much but rearrange all the stuff in the stew, right? It's not really doing a whole lot. And that's because you're part of the problem. You're not really part of the solution. The shaking your fist and getting angry, that's an intellectual act. That's something that you're doing because you're trying to manipulate the world to be the way you want it. Wrong approach. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're raising kids or trying to protect the rainforest, it all works the same way, because that's the nature of consciousness and the nature of the reality that you're in. So it's really a very simple answer. You're not powerless. You just have to find and develop your power, and that's not a matter of a better strategy or doing things. That's a matter of letting go, getting rid of fear. So start with self. That's how you get empowered. Once you don't have that fear, you know, look at Martin Luther King, look at Mandela, and look at Gandhi. The thing that made them so special is that they had no fear. They weren't cowed by the system that was big and strong and could easily beat them down. You see, they had no fear. They stood up anyway. Once you're empowered, there's very little that you can't do. You can make a difference, but first you have to empower yourself, and that's where it all starts, is with self. It's not, you know, what movement should I join? How, you know, what placard should I carry? What tree should I lash myself to? You know, it's not, that isn't the thing. Don't go out and try to change the world. Don't go out and try to change the people who are doing the things you don't like. Love them. Care. Be an example. Help them change themselves. That's the way it has to work, because there is no other solution. That's the only solution, because that's the nature of consciousness, and consciousness generates this reality. So, you know, kind of there we are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, because I'm thinking of, you know, one of the examples that we see a lot where, you know, the kids are doing graffiti, and, you know, they're doing it because they feel so powerless. Like, their way of being seen and their way of acting out because they feel like they have no power. It's, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's their disregard for the environment, and it's, but it's really their pain that they're, you know, they may be doing it in a group, which makes it a little bit more dangerous, or, you know, I don't know exactly how some things are being done, but, you know, you feel that. As soon as you see something like that, though, you get angry, and you want to, you know, like, why doesn't somebody do something? But it's great because the way you're making us see it and the way, you know, some of us do see it, but the way it's always so simple. You always put it very simply.
Well, anger is just ego. Yeah. If something makes you angry, well, there you go. That's your ego. Because if you don't have the ego, then you don't get angry. There's nothing to get angry about. Angry means that's not the way it should be. That's not the way you should act. That's not, you know, it's, and
the
it's
right
all about
versus wrong.
Yeah, it's the right versus wrong. It's you need to be different. And what's different? How different defined? Well, different is you need to be the way I want you to be. You know, it's you trying to make the world over in your own image. That's just ego. And I know what's right, and I know what you're doing is wrong, and you need to stop it.
Yes.
That's not the right way. And yes, people do these things just to have power. I mean, it starts at how old? A year and a half? Certainly at 2 years old. Everybody knows who's had an infant. What's the power word? No. You know, that's the power word. And once that child, you know, realizes that no has power, no means that they actually can make an effect in their world, well, they'll say no to everything, even something they want to do, just because it's a power word. Whereas doing whatever it is somebody else wants you to do, there's no power in that. That's taking your power away. So it's like that. You know, people express their sense of powerlessness by shouting no, by doing things that you know, I'll make them sit up and take notice, you know, or I'll write on their pretty wall, or I'll do whatever. And it's people who are desperate because they have egos.
Thursday is a power-packed day here on The Sky. Join us at noon for the I'm Thankful Network. At 1 p.m., it's the Dr. Pat Show. At 4 p.m., Collette Barron-Reed takes the stage for the Collette Barron-Reed Show. The Collette Barron-Reed Show, where intuition, practical spirituality, great advice, a little woo-woo fun, and fabulosity meet. Collette Barron-Reed is an internationally renowned intuitive counselor, educator, and best-selling author who helps others recognize and connect with their own intuition, potential, and purpose. Powerful motivational speaker, charismatic broadcast personality, and acclaimed performer, storyteller, and recording artist, Collette uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower her clients to live a life that is awake and authentic, and to create a reality that is spiritual, deliberate, and meaningful. Call in early. The lines are hot. 248-545-7685. Instant feedback at newskyradio.com. New Sky Radio. NewSkyRadio.com. New horizons, no boundaries. Powered by CBS, Yahoo, and Radio.com.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I can try for your heart. Our dreams, and they are made out of real things, like a shoebox of photographs with sepia tone loving. Love is the answer, at least for most of the questions of my heart, like why are we here and where do we go, and how come we're so hard. It's not always easy, and sometimes life can be deceiving. I'll tell you one thing, it's always better when we're together. It's always better when we're together. Yeah, we'll look at them stars when we're together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. Just might find their way into my dreams tonight. But I know that they'll be gone when the morning light sings or brings new things. For tomorrow night you see that they'll be gone too. Too many things I have to do. But if all of these dreams might find their way into my day-to-day scene, I'd be under the impression I was somewhere in between. With only two, just me and you. Not so many things we got to do, but places we got to be. We'll sit beneath the mango tree now. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. We're somewhere in between together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. Combination of words I could say, but I will still tell you one thing, we're better together.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today we have Thomas Campbell. He is with us every last Friday of the month. The next show will be May 25th. And we are talking today about participation. And we've done, I think it's been a very interesting show. I mean, I always love the simplicity of it because I think the more simple it is, the better anyway. Google Thomas Campbell, and you can find a wealth of information on the internet. And especially if you like watching videos, YouTube has so many videos and so many hours that you can get lost up and caught up in it for a great deal of time, and you will always learn something new. But right at the break, we were sort of discussing, okay, we sort of talked about this, but I think what we're going to talk about now is just, you know, there's so much out there, and there's a lot of different spiritual teachers, and there's a lot of different dogmas out there. So when you're thinking about, you know, how do you hold yourself responsible without feeling completely victimized, and to participate, we can get caught up in all the different things out there that, you know, that, as you say, we think we're children, so we look out to outside of ourselves to all the different people that help us understand what we're to do. I mean, if we had a Gandhi in this lifetime, maybe it would be easier. If we had a Martin Luther King, or if we had somebody that, I think the big thing about this life is right now is that we're to go inward. We're to get our information by ourselves. But we get caught up because there's so much out there.
Yes, people get into this idea that they can't do it, you know, that everything has an exterior solution. Nobody wants to look inside themselves. Nobody wants to stand up and say, I'm responsible for the way I am, and I'm responsible for changing myself if I don't like the way I am. Instead, they say, oh, this guru or this person or this attitude or, you know this environmental group or something, they will tell me, you know, what to do. Again, children asking, you know, daddy to explain to them what they should do next. And they will join a group. It might be a spiritual group. It might be a meditation group. And, you know, who knows? Like you say, there's thousands of these groups that will gladly play daddy, you know, to your needs. But you have to realize that these groups can be useful, but they will not be able to change you. They will not be able to actually make you grow up. Nobody can make you grow up, just like you can't make anybody else grow up. Eventually, it has to happen from the inside out. Growth has to occur from the inside out. It can never occur from the outside in. So people do that. They'll go to a group. They'll spend 6 months or a year doing whatever, learning how to fold their feet up on top of their knees and you know, go om and things like that. And after 6 months or a year of that, they feel like, well, I'm still the same person. This has been interesting. I've met a lot of nice people, but I'm still me. And I still have most of all the same issues I had. That's because they're expecting somebody else to fix it for them, because that's the way children are. Children expect mom and dad to fix it for them. They don't realize they have to go fix it themselves. So they go from one group to the next group to the next group, and eventually they get jaded and they just don't want to participate anymore because they've been there, they've done that, it doesn't work. Nothing really works. It didn't work for me. Well, I tried meditation and it didn't work for me, because they think this meditation is some kind of thing that will fix them. You see, it's not like that. You have to fix yourself. The other problem is that these various groups, they have their own metaphors. They have their own explanations. Now, a metaphor is just a way you describe something. And these metaphors often turn into dogma. Oh, this is the way you describe these things. And eventually, they forget that it's just a metaphor. And then it's the world is this way. You know, this it's not that this is just how we describe these things. It says that's the way these things are. And if you don't see it our way, then you're wrong. And these groups then have dogma that derives from their metaphors, which just describe the way they approach their discipline, whatever it is. Say it's a meditation or some sort of spiritual thing. So if you're into the, you know, the Hindu thing, then you see chakras. And the chakras are real. And if you don't believe in chakras, then you just, you know, you just don't get it yet. Is the problem. Well, chakras are just a metaphor. It's a way of organizing the data that makes sense so that people can focus their intent in an effective way. It's just a system of metaphors. You know, we talk about oversoul, the higher self, you know, the individuated unit of consciousness, and all these different terms. They're all just metaphors. They're ways, they're models that we make up to so that we can talk to each other about things. You see, we're stuck with this language derived from a physical matter, objective causality kind of reality frame. So we need to break everything in term down in terms of functional, what do we call it, functional kind of causal models. Oh, we have, let's say, an oversoul does this, and then it communicates to the brain, and the brain does this, and we have all the structure. You can go on the internet, and you can find some Swami or something, and he's found 137 and a half different levels of subtle, you know, and it goes on and on, all this definition, all this detail, and it's all just metaphor. None of it is fundamental. It can be helpful. Now, so what groups do you join and which do you share away from? Well, the ones whose metaphors resonate with you, you should go join that group because there's something there for you. But don't let that metaphor become dogma. Don't get trapped by the metaphor, because after you grow up a bit, those metaphors are no longer that useful to you. There's another set now that will resonate with you, and you can get more from that. So you need to let some things go, go on to other things, but always realize you will not find the answer elsewhere. You will not find the perfect prescription that will fix you and make your life perfect, that'll make you enlightened somewhere else. You have to discover that inside yourself. And the way you do that, again, is to get rid of the fear, belief, and ego. Now, how do you get rid of fear, belief, and ego? Well, very shortly, I'll say that beliefs, you have many beliefs that you don't even know you have, and they're very subtle and hard to find. Fear is the same way. You have many fears. They're subtle and hard to find. But ego, now ego just sticks right out like a sore thumb. All you have to do is be aware of why you do and why you feel as you do. What is it that's motivating you? And if it's starts with I, it's because I, you know, want this, or I'm afraid of that, or I want you to be this way. And if it has to do with your wants and needs and desires, that's ego. And then you just need a very strong intent to get rid of it. once you get rid of the ego, the fear behind that ego becomes obvious, and then you can deal with the fear or the belief. But start with ego, and you know you must fix things. You must become empowered. You must grow up and become an adult under your own power, in your own mind, and in your own way. Groups can help sometimes, but they're not the answer. You are the answer.
Perfect. Well, I think I know from this show what our next show is going to be about. I think we're going to talk about metaphors, because I think we haven't talked really about that yet here. And there'll be a lot of people that have, you know, their metaphors that, yeah, so that I think that's what we're going to talk about next month. So stay tuned. And if you have questions for Tom and you want to actually have some of them answered, you can email us directly so that we bring them up to the shows. So you can contact me through Intuitive Soul, or you can contact Tom through his website, which is My Big Toe with hyphens in between. So my-big-toe.com. And email us, and we'll be glad to air some of your questions. So whatever you are wanting to know about and wanting to bring the science into spirituality, this is definitely the show. All right. So thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. I guess we've done it again.
We have.
Another last Friday of the month.
That's right. All right. So, well, again, love to have you on, and, you know, Google Tom, because he really does have all the information out there. So.